When my girlfriend's cell phone went straight to voicemail for the fourth time in 24 hours, worried didn't even begin to describe it. I paced beside my kitchen table, eyeing my phone like it might suddenly spring to life with her ringtone the way I'd been begging it to. Alex had planned to visit her estranged parents yesterday, and after those get-togethers, it wasn't unusual for her to hole up in the house and block out the world for a while. I always worried myself sick when she did that. The woman could drink like nobody's business when she was upset, but the next morning always meant a text message saying she was okay. Hungover, probably depressed as hell, but okay. This morning, that text hadn't come. More than likely, things hadn't gone well. They never did. I told myself all day long that she just needed some space, some time. I didn't want to crowd her, but damn it, something about this raised the hairs on the back of my neck. I looked at my watch. It was almost 8. Over 36 hours since she was supposed to meet them. Almost 48 since I'd heard from her at all. Something was wrong. It had to be. I grabbed my phone and keys. Hopefully she'd be irritated with me showing up at her door, annoyed by the intrusion, aggravated by me coming to her before she was ready to interact with the outside world again. At least that would mean she was home safe. I pulled out of the driveway and ignored the posted speed limit. We lived about 20 minutes apart, and I was determined to get there in under 15, 10 if I could swing it. I'd never met Alex's family. She'd told me little about them, but just the way her hackles went up at the mere mention of her parents' existence spoke volumes. It wouldn't have surprised me if they had abused her when she was young, and not just in the emotional, manipulative ways I assumed they still did. She was prone to unpredictable bouts of deep depression, which had been more frequent and severe in the last 6 months or so, and not just after she'd seen her family. She went through phases. Hours, days, weeks, when she'd balk at any suggestion of physical intimacy. Sometimes she didn't mind an affectionate touch, but recoiled at the first hint of anything sexual. An arm around her could make her melt against me or shrink away like a beaten dog, and I never knew when to give her space and when to give her a shoulder. Then, almost overnight, she'd be insatiable in bed. Whenever I asked her about it, she clammed up. Apologized, avoided my eyes, changed the subject. What did they do to you, baby? Turning down Alex's street, I took a few deep breaths and willed my pounding heart to slow down. She was fine, probably drunk and upset, but no more worse for wear than the last time she'd seen her mother and stepfather. I was overreacting. I was being too protective. Or maybe I wasn't. Her house came into view up ahead. Her car was parked in front of the garage, and the faint glow of a single lamp illuminated her living room window. There were no other cars in the driveway or on the street, so presumably she was alone, assuming, of course, that she was home. Someone else could have driven her somewhere, or she... Easy, Damon. Don't jump to conclusions yet. Heart still pounding, I parked beside her car. On my way up to the porch, I hesitated, wondering for the 100th time if she'd be upset with me showing up when she clearly didn't want to see anyone. After almost turning back twice, I made myself get all the way to the front porch, and before I could find another reason to talk myself out of it, I knocked. Waited, craned my neck a little, listening for movement on the other side of the door. Nothing. My heart beat faster. I knocked again, harder this time. Still, nothing.